WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Richard Wilbur has written poetry for more than 40 years. During that time, he has won the National Book Award and two Pulitzer Prizes, the latest for an anthology of his work called New and Collected Poems, which is published by Harcourt Brace and Jovanovich. From 1987 until 1988, he served as second poet laureate of the United States, a post established by Congress in 1985. While unconventional styles of poetry have emerged over the years, Wilbur has remained consistent, using a more traditional form of writing. His work has been praised for its precision and its gentle elegance. I asked Richard Wilbur to read one of his earlier poems.
This is a poem about my daughter. My daughter has by now turned into a very fine and recognized writer of short stories. But she was always writing short stories, and this poem looks back at her as she was in her high school days. The writer. In her room at the prow of the house, where light breaks and the windows are tossed with linden, my daughter is writing a story. I pause in the stairwell, hearing from her shut door a commotion of typewriter keys like a chain hauled over a gunwale. Young as she is, the stuff of her life is a great cargo, and some of it heavy. I wish her a lucky passage. But now it is she who pauses, as if to reject my thought and its easy figure. A stillness greatens in which the whole house seems to be thinking. And then she is at it again with a bunched clamor of strokes, and again is silent. I remember the dazed starling which was trapped in that very room 2 years ago. How we stole in, lifted a sash, and retreated, not to affright it. And how for a helpless hour, through the crack of the door, we watched the sleek, wild, dark, and iridescent creature batter against the brilliance, drop like a glove to the hard floor or the desk top, and wait then, humped and bloody, for the wits to try it again. And how our spirits rose when, suddenly sure, it lifted off from a chair back, beating a smooth course for the right window and clearing the sill of the world. It is always a matter, my darling, of life or death, as I had forgotten. I wish what I wished you before, but harder.
As I listen to your poems, either you reading them or myself reading them to myself, there is a kind of the flow and the sound of the words makes me wonder whether you work out loud or work quietly when you are actually writing a poem.
You know, when I began to write poetry in earnest back in the 1940s, the oral performance of poetry was relatively uncommon. And so I think that my first poems were written as if for the page, and they were written to be taken off the page by the eye. And a lot of them are rather hard to sound aloud, I find. Since then, I've been involved in the theater, and more, like everybody else, I've been giving poetry readings here and there across the nation. By now, the poems I write are easy to pronounce, easy to perform. They are at least 50% pieces of oral art.
You actually began to write, and my understanding is during World War II. And
I began to take it seriously at that time.
Was there something about, I suppose, being a young man, being, I think, probably afraid, alone in war, that somehow the poetry grew out of that? I mean, your seriousness about poetry?
Yes. I think I felt that I began to take poetry seriously. For one thing, because it was one of the few constructive things I could do with the long periods of idleness which military service involves. Writing poems was something to do, that and reading. And then there was the general disorder and doubtfulness of the world. We didn't know when our war against Adolf Hitler began that we were going to beat him.
Yeah.
We might have lived in a Hitler world 4 years thereafter, for all we knew. And then there was the interior disturbance, which even the bravest and securest of us felt at such a time. And all of that leads to art. All of that leads to the tendency of art to not to make things look nicer than they are, but to face up to things, to clarify.
Did you feel yourself becoming a poet?
Well,
whatever that is.
It's very hard to say when you decide that you are a poet. I knew that I was someone to whom writing poems was important. I don't suppose that I really felt that I was a poet until the day came when a New York publisher wrote me and said, we'd like to publish a book of this stuff.
Hmm.
Or perhaps it was a little earlier when, for the first time, two or three people said to me that this or that poem had mattered greatly to them, had helped them take hold of their own lives a bit.
Hmm.
About that time, you begin to think that what you're doing is going to be useful to other people in some way. And you then feel entitled to take yourself seriously.
And you can call yourself a poet then.
About that time,
when others call you that, then I guess you can call yourself that.
Yes. When others say, write me another poem, I liked the last one, I needed the last one.
I know that you had a young son who became autistic at the age of about 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
And I think how sad that must be. I mean, certainly for any parent, but I think of especially you because of the way you wrote about kind of being in the world and the beauty of language to you, and to have a child, I suppose, who's lost to your world that way.
Well, he was lost initially. Actually, of course, autistic children show their special symptoms from birth. There were long periods in which he was on strike, wouldn't speak, wouldn't eat, very long periods.
It's interesting you say on strike.
Yes, that's what it felt like. He felt very obdurate. But at last, it's just a great mercy that he came around, proved educable, and proved to be sweet-natured and happy.
Mm.
And he's, whatever it is to lead a life, he is in great part leading a good life now. There was a lot of anguish in it for us before it became clear that he was going to be capable of a life.
I know you've written for children, and I think a title which I love is Loudmouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the Game of Opposites, which was a game you used to play with your family.
Yes.
How did that work?
Somebody at the table would say, what is the opposite of Earth? And someone else would say, sky. And someone else would say, no, heaven. And, there are perhaps three or four other possible answers to it. But waiting around to think of another opposite had a very quieting and civilizing effect on our dinner tables. And it was fun. I found myself, sometime after our children had mostly gone away, scribbling little poems based on this game in the margins of graver efforts. And after a while, it turned out that I had 39 of them and could declare it a book. And happily, my publisher agreed. They even let me draw the pictures for it.
And the pictures are great.
Well, I'm glad you like them. They're not professional art, of course, but I think they're probably well attuned to the poems. Professional art would probably overpower those little poems.
Yeah.